reading to you from the Mark 10th chapter and the 21st verse. Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. I gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been trying to share Jesus ever since. Friends, you might have had a bad week. Things have went wrong. I've had the experience. I know what I'm talking about. But I want you to know God cares. Peter said, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." So with that in mind, would you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour your glass of iced tea or maybe a lemonade. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to the 14th chapter of Matthew? Let's begin reading with the 22nd verse. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Whenever evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. And during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said, and then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, crying out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out to his hand and caught him. "Oh, you of little faith," he said, "why do you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged them to let the sick just touch the edge of his coat, and all who touched him were healed. Well, friends, we've labeled this, Peter Walks on the Water. Well, now here's the calm before the storm. And the evening approached, the disciples came and said, This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowd away so they can go to the village and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Well, we know what happened there. And they fed the 5,000. Listen. Feeding of the 5,000. Sending the disciples away in a ship. The Savior praying on the mountain, verse 23. And he had dismissed them, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Friends, the one thing that Jesus tried to teach his disciples, and he's trying to teach you and I, how important prayer is. It's the most powerful tool that a Christian has. We can pray for things. You know, he said, "You have not, because you ask not." You know, I ask for little simple things, and I've heard people say, "Oh, well, the Lord's too busy to listen to my problems." Well, I got news for you. If you're one of his, He's never too busy to listen to your problem. I'll tell you something else. There's never a busy sign when you call to heaven. There is on the telephone, but not to heaven. And he won't put you on hold. And he'll hear everything you've got to say. I don't understand how he can do it, but he's an awesome God, and he can do anything. All things are possible with God. Now, the storm pictures a storm of life that comes to all of us. Now, the disciples struggled with high winds and waves, verse 24. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against him. I've told you this story many, many times. But boy, I remember in the North China Sea during World War II, Bull Halsey led us through the worst storm that ever recorded in the North China Sea. Two ships sunk that night, two big tin cans sunk. 100-foot waves. Can you envision what a 100-foot wave looks like? Our ship was only 550 feet long, but we dropped down into those troughs, and I'm telling you, it almost break your back. We had a guy that was up in a crow's nest, and he was up there for 3 days, couldn't get down. And you know what? On a ship, in every ship they build, there's an indicator, and it shows you how far it'll go to the port, how far the ship will go to the starboard. And that's when it goes beyond that, you're in danger of rolling over. And our ship was pegging on port and starboard side. I never prayed so hard in my life. And dear friends, I wasn't a Christian. I didn't know Jesus. I knew about him, but I didn't know him. Well, I told the Lord that night, even though I didn't know him, I told him, Lord, whatever you want for my life, you can have it. As soon as we get back to stay, if you get us out of this storm, I'll live for you the rest of my life. What a liar. I didn't do it. And God knew I wasn't going to do it, but he was a gracious, holy God. And he knew someday that I'd fall on my knees and cry, Lord, be merciful to a sinner. And I did. A few years later, I was 30 years old, and I was only 19 in that storm. Well, Jesus came walking on the sea, encouraging them. Now, in verse 25, it says, during the fourth watch of that night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out with fear. Well, Peter was challenged, If thou bid me to come. Well, he did. He sure walked on the water. Lord, it's you. Peter replied, tell me to come to you and on the water. And come, he said. Well, Peter, he walked out there. And when he saw this, he was doing fine until he saw the circumstances surrounding the huge waves and stuff. And he started to go down. He said, Lord, save me. Oh, my stars. You know, every one of us goes through the storms of life, whether you're a Christian or whether you're a non-Christian. And I would urge you tonight to come to Jesus while you still have time. Remember, dear friend, just remember this. He that is often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that with remedy. You know, there's people who go down through life fully expecting to go to heaven, fully believing that because they joined a church or because they were baptized, they were going to go to heaven. And that's not the way it is. And you can't buy your way into heaven. You can't work your way into heaven. You must trust him. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Now let me tell you what. There's plenty of invitations of faith in the Bible, verse 29. Come, he said. Well, come, a word of invitation. They tell me there are more than 1,900 invitations in the Bible. Well, consider some of the invitations of Christ. He tells us in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Now, that's an invitation from Jesus alone. Jesus inviting children to come, and I read in Matthew 19:14. Jesus said, let the little ones come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as thee. Then he goes on and tells, inviting the thirsty to come and drink, in John 7:37, On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If a man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." You know, friends, salvation is free. It's a gift. God gives it. The morning I was saved, I couldn't have rubbed two nickels together. I was broke flat because I was a no-good alcoholic. I'd spent all my money on riotous living. And so when this preacher told me that God loved me, I told him I didn't believe him. I really didn't believe him because I still didn't believe that God could love an alcoholic. I really couldn't. But the Bible says God loves all sinners. Now, what he told me that morning is what really, really got my attention. He said, "Cecil, God does not love your sins, but he loves you, a sinner." Boy, oh boy, oh boy. And then he quoted John 3:16, "For God so loved Cecil Moe that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Well, he said in John 6:37, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." All who will come to Jesus will be received, and he will not cast you out. Oh, come to Jesus and trust him as Savior. Now, the adventures of faith we find in 29 come, he said. Well, Peter coming down out of the ship. Now listen, Peter's knowledge of the sea as a fisherman, he was no stupid moron. Peter knew how to fish. He knew how to run a boat in a heavy storm. But he experiences with drowning companion. He knew the treachery of the sea, and there's something within us that loves adventure. Going over falls in a barrel, mountain climbing, ski diving, car racing, spacewalk. Boy, howdy, you do not know how many people in Colorado are killed every year for climbing cliffs and rock. We got them here. Oh boy, the Rocky Mountains is full of mountains and rocks. In fact, my foreman, one of my men used to work for me in the roofing business, he fell 100 feet. And he almost died. Well, I guess, what's this great singer? I forget what his name now is. But he fell, and he wears glasses today because he's had to rebuild his face and everything. Well, Peter walks on the water and learns that Christ is Lord of all. Now, the adventure of stepping out of God's promises in trusting God instead of man. Friend, listen, if you put your trust in man, you're in a whole heap of hurt. Don't put your trust in man. Put your trust in the Lord. I learned that. I can't remember if it was 119th Psalm where it said, "Do not trust, put your trust in man, but or princes or kings, but put your trust in the Lord." And boy, I remember the morning I had that experience. It looked like I was in a whole heap of trouble. Now listen, let me tell you what happened. My wife and I, we moved from Seattle to California. We had bought furniture on time. And we went through a finance company. And before we left Seattle, I got on the phone and I called them. I told them, "Look, we're leaving Seattle. We're going to California. I'm going to Bible college." And they said, "Fine." I said, "I'm taking the furniture. Is that okay?" "Oh, it's absolutely all right. Don't worry about it." Now, they call my wife and tell her they were going to put me, Cecil Moe, in jail because I left the state with the furniture without authority. I was so upset, I walked the street back and forth, trying to figure out what to do. And it's just like the Lord revealed to me, "Go back into the Psalms." And I started asking for some comfort or some advice, what I'm supposed to say, because I knew I had to call those people. And that's when it said, "Put not your trust in man or in princes, or put your trust in the Lord." I got on the phone. And I called him, and I said, "This is Cecil Moe," and I said, "I understand that you're going to put me in jail." "Who told you that?" I said, "Well, this man told my wife that." "Oh, that was a misunderstanding." I said, "I hope to kiss a pig was a misunderstanding." Because I said, "Before I left Seattle with that furniture, I called you and I told you I was leaving because I knew it's against the law to take furniture out of a state if it's being financed." Oh, he was so sweet, I couldn't believe it. "Oh, my, Mr. Moe," he says, "don't you worry about that. In fact, we'll lower your payments if you're struggling." See, the Lord gave me the strength to go ahead and to face my problems. If you face your problems with the Lord, you'd be surprised. They tell me, if someone owes you a debt, now you owe someone a debt, and they call you, they write you a letter, and they tell you they want this money and yakety yak, and you don't answer, boy howdy, they're going to come down on you like a June bug, because they want to know where their money is. And that's fair enough, and I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. Well, the wind was boisterous. And I don't know what your circumstance is tonight. Maybe you've had a troubled week. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you're about to lose your home. Or are you struggling with temptations, fear, grief? Peter's fears were adversaries of his faith. Now listen to this. Fear and faith are opposite, absolutely two opposites. You know what General Lee said? Never take counsel of your fears. As faith increases, did you know this? Fear decreases. Well, what's his resource with the resource of faith? We find out in the 30th verse. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Well, Peter prayed when everything looked so hopeless. It was a short and it was an intense prayer. A prayer that recognized the power of Christ to answer. Listen, did you know what Jesus did? Immediately, he stretched out his hand. Excuse me, and saved Peter. Well, friends, with Jesus, it is safe to be weak and needy. I wonder tonight, you might be one of these people that said, "Oh, Cecil, I wished I could talk to you and tell you all my problems." Well, Cecil wouldn't be the one to talk about their problems. I got a letter from an inmate the other day, and I sat down, I read it, my wife read it, we read it over again. And this man has got a real problem. He said, "I don't have any mentor." Well, he'd never been to church. Now, friends, let me tell you this. I want to be very plain. After you accept Jesus Christ, if you don't get into the Word of God, you're not going to grow at all. Faith cometh hearing by the Word of God. Now, you read the Bible. Like I told you, after I was saved that morning, I went and got me a little Bible. I started reading that Bible, and honest to John, every verse that I read, and I read a lot of them, it made me know that God really loves me. Now, maybe you don't really believe that God loves you. In fact, this inmate told me that his prayers were not being answered. Well, now, he was lying. They may not be answered, but I'll tell you, God hears your prayer. He said, "I don't think God wants to hear from you." Yes, he does. If you're one of his children, he wants to hear from you. Do you ever talk to him out in the, whatever? Maybe you're driving the road down the road in your car, and all these problems are coming. Don't you talk to him? People might think you're a little dingy when you pass him or something. He says, "Well, that guy's talking. There's nobody in the car." But he wants you to talk to him. How many times have I told you, you have not because you ask not? The Lord wants to hear from his children. Why do you think God created heaven and earth? Why do you think he made man and woman? He wanted fellowship with them. And what do you suppose happened? Yeah, you're right. Adam and Eve messed up, and they didn't do what the Lord warned them not to do. They did it anyway. That old serpent come down that tree, and she said, "Man, that fruit looks good to the eye." And she ate it. Then she got her husband, and they both got cast out of the garden because of their disobedience. Are you being disobedient to the Lord tonight? You see, Cecil, I haven't witnessed to a soul for months. I haven't testified for months. Shame on you, dear friend. Shame on you. You tell the Lord you're sorry for that, and He'll forgive you. If you really mean it, He'll forgive you. What's your response to God's invitation to the life of faith? Listen, He will receive you and care for you through life's storms. And I said, you're going to have a lot of storms. Well, I've heard preachers on television say if I send them a $1,200 seed offering, I'd never have any more problems. Well, they're liars. But they're going to have a lot of problems someday. Because they're going to stand before the Lord and He's going to say, begone, you cursed workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Sure as con men in Christianity. They're not Christians, but they're con people. They know how to get money from you. They know how. You never catch me asking for money, do you? I don't want your money. I want your prayers, but I don't want your money. Now you say, well, Cecil, look, I don't even know if I'm a Christian. Well, if you don't know, you aren't. Because the Bible said this is written that you may know that you pass from death unto life. He wants you to know you're born again. You can't be born again if you don't repent. If you don't tell the Lord you're sorry and confess that you're a sinner, you're lost and goose as a goose in the grass. Tonight I urge you, if you get a little old tugging at your heart and you feel that you want to trust Jesus, I want you to bow your head to me right now. And I beg of you, do not pray this prayer if you don't mean it. And here's how the prayer goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm turning my back on the old way of life. I'm inviting You into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. Change me, Lord. Help me to live for You. Help me to know the joy of living for Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I want to hear from you. 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. But I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Is that wrong? 303-471-8534. If you can't afford to call, friend, call collect. I'll accept the charges. 303-471-8534. Thank you. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Dear friends, if you're going through some heartaches and discouragements, turn your eyes toward Jesus like the song says. He's there. He's standing with outstretched arms tonight saying, "Oh, son, oh, daughter, I know how you hurt. And I went to the cross that I might cure that. Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you peace or give you rest." So you come to him tonight and you talk to him. Tell him you love him. Go out and share your faith with people. Start witnessing. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your deacons. Pray for your Sunday school teachers. That's very important because they're the ones that care for you. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I do want you to continue to pray for me and my wife and our health. We're getting up there in the 80s now, and we're getting kind of feeble. But boy, we sure love to go to prison. We sure love to win souls in that prison. And we're seeing hundreds over the years, hundreds of people. Yay, I'd say thousands that come to Christ during the 30 years we've been going to prison. Well, listen, stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Jesus. It's coming sooner than people think. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.